Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. In 2 Nephi chapter 28, and 29 actually, but they're too long to read together in a single episode, so today we're just going to read 28 and cut Nephi off mid-thought. But in these two chapters, Nephi is talking about the last days, which is our modern times. And he's speaking a lot about the Gentiles, who I at least fall in that category. And there's kind of a lot of doom and gloom in here, a lot of warnings about things we should not do. And you may recall long ago when Nephi had his grand vision and saw the history of everything, the world from beginning to end, he saw this great and abominable church, or the whore of all the earth, which is just this representation of any church, maybe even any organization, I don't know, but definitely any church that fights against the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to talk about that some more in this one. So again, when that comes up, remember that's not necessarily any one particular church, but it's probably a lot of different churches and perhaps a lot of other organizations as well. So, chapter 28, verse 1. "And now behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass. And the things which shall be written out of the book," which I believe is the Book of Mormon, "shall be of great worth unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up, and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one say that hath built up churches, and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another. And they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance." I think this is an important thing to remember, regardless of your religiousness or your affiliation to any particular denomination. Truth, especially as defined as the gospel of Jesus Christ and things relating to salvation, comes from God and is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter what book of scripture you're preaching from, if you're relying on your own intelligence rather than the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you're definitely risking going astray, no matter how smart and no matter how good-intentioned you are. Verse 5, "And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precept. For behold, there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work." So this is actually something we do hear, and I think even for me sometimes, just generally in the world of Christendom, it's easy to look back at the Old Testament and the New Testament and even the Book of Mormon and see these miracles and say, well, that was great back then, but today we don't have that. Nephi is saying that's wrong, that's muddle-headed. God is still a God of miracles. Verse 7, "Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor, there is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God." So this is another, this thought process I think is pretty prominent today, both among believers and not believers, that, you know, it's just a little, you know, it doesn't matter if you lie a little bit. It doesn't matter if you make small mistakes, it'll all be okay. Verse 9, "Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark." Okay, so Nephi is saying that's not a good thing to believe. You've gotta fear God and repent of your sins. Verse 10, "And the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them." Yeesh. Verse 11, "Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have become corrupted and their churches are lifted up. Because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led, that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. So it sounds like there's just general confusion, and people are doing horrible things in the name of God. Verse 15. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all those who preach false doctrines, and all those who commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. This is pretty intense words from Nephi. Verse 16. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught and revile against that which is good and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. So there's this little message of hope. With all this hypocrisy and all this wickedness going around, God has not abandoned us. If we repent and come unto him, we will not be destroyed. Verse 18. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security. And they shall say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls, and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away, and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears, until he grasps them with his awful chains, from which there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell. And death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all those who tremble, and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts. For notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. That's where the chapter ends. It seems to be making a turn to talk about cheerier things, but actually, when we continue on in the next chapter, Nephi will be back into the fire and brimstone and doom and gloom.